Da Bears.
What is up? The boys are back. Episode 34 of Da Bear Minimum Podcast. Boys, it's our sweetness episode.
Aww.
It is our sweetness episode. Today is...
May I also submit?
What's up?
The K Kid Carry Wood.
The what?
The K Kid.
The K Kid.
Wood.
Oh, Kid K.
I thought you said something else.
It's our sweetness episode.
It's our sweetness episode. It's our sweetness episode. Like, can it be like subtitle B?
You can make a post halfway between this episode and the next episode on Twitter.
34, episode 34 and three quarters.
Yeah. There we go.
Today is Tuesday, May 10th. Again, episode 34. I'm Marcos, joined with the homies, the bestest friends in the whole goddamn world. The sweet boy, Sammy Stats.
What up, everybody?
Sweet boy, Lana Dale.
Hey, everybody.
Sweet boy, producer Jake.
Howdy.
Chief Bargaining Officer and sweetest boy of them all, Chief Bargaining Officer Billiam.
No words from Billiam.
He can't talk. He can't talk. That's right. That's
he
right.
He gave you a look of undying loyalty, so there's that.
That's a loyal-ass dog. Guys, episode 34 of Da Bear Minimum Podcast on Facebook, Da Bear Minimum Podcast, Twitter, at Da Bear Min Pod, Instagram will be running soon, at Da Bear Min Podcast. I'll verify that username. I think that's right. If you are looking to donate and help with the boys, anything that you got, we're happy to take it. Studio's coming up. Clips are going, we're going to start getting clips out there soon. It's going to be fun times. Our Venmo is always open, at Da Bear Min Pod on Venmo.
Tip jar is open.
Tip jar is always open.
Yeah, send us like $2 and we'll make Sam do a shot of Malort or something.
Sick. That's the going rate nowadays.
Yep.
Boys.
Fellas.
How the hell we doing?
Pretty good. Jake, come on.
Deep sigh.
Let it out.
Last night was tough.
I bet it was, dude.
We'll get into it.
Horrible.
I don't know about this yet, so I'm
you don't know?
I watched.
It was one of the darkest Twitter. Like, I was. Did anybody see?
I watched the whole game.
Yeah, it was bad.
All right, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it. Guys, before we continue on with this, a couple shout-outs here. Some sponsors of ours. Actually, just one sponsor. Shout-out our buddy Jose, draft expert, Green Bay Packers fan. I was going to call him fuck. Extraordinaire.
Owner,
Green Bay Packers shareholder. shout-out Jose, season ticket holder, as we know.
Oh my God.
Jose has graciously donated two Cubs season ticket for Tuesday, May 31st. Cubs v. Brewers, somewhere left field. He's donated two tickets to the boys.
What are we going to do with them?
We are going to come up with
clear,
something.
To be clear, not season tickets donated.
Yes.
Two of his tickets.
Yes, two of his donated. Tickets of his season ticket allotment.
That's a good clarification.
Very good. Jose's what?
Jose's that's like, oh, shit. All right.
Blocked.
Let's eat, kids.
Let's eat, kids. So Jose has donated those two tickets. We're going to figure out a cool game or some sort of participation thing. It's going to be social media, guys. It'll be Facebook. It'll be Twitter. It'll be Instagram. So make sure you're following us on all three of them and definitely follow along because we will post on how to win these tickets. Please only play if you plan on or are available to go to this game. It saves the confusion of cycling through the seventh and eighth person that won this contest. So pretty good, guys. Good to go.
I like it.
Good to go.
How's the weekend?
We missed you. We had a fun night.
Three Saturday was
four
good.
Of us on Saturday.
On Saturday?
Yeah,
dude, Saturday was a good day. And it would have been nice to get out there with you guys, but guess what I was doing?
Rhyme with bathroom.
No comment.
Ah.
I have helped on this bathroom. It's not that bad. He's making a big deal out of it. I'm kidding. It's pretty awful.
His face is stone cold.
We put up two very basic sheets of drywall, and it took us a little while.
8 hours. You know what I mean?
Nothing is basic in that fucking bathroom.
You should have kept metrics. You should have kept metrics on this bathroom, like hours put in, number of beers drank.
You got to be at one for one.
I will, from here on out. Spreadsheet on the way.
I could tell you I was at least two for one when I was there.
Yeah, so no, we were not shy.
1.5 hour.
Yeah.
One thing that we did this weekend that I am really excited for because I'm not very excited about the weather right now. Hot season is back. Hot boy
no longer
here.
Gold no bond longer season. Big man season.
It's
get your gold bond.
Get your gold bond. Legs is chafing. Armpits. It's not good. You assholes asked for this. I miss cold season already. But
it's right around the corner.
It's right around
back.
The corner.
60
it's
degrees
coming.
Next week.
It's coming. What was I saying? God damn it.
I I umpired 5 fast pitch softball games this weekend.
Ooh, you champion.
Well, in one day, actually. It was 8 hours of work.
Oh.
I was wondering where you were.
Yeah, 9 to 5.
So was this Armpit's softball league?
Yeah, it was for his like more competitive teams that that he plays on. So yeah, they did like a 5-round robin kind of just series of games to, as like a tune up for the season.
Do you remember what that league was called?
I don't know, because it's a cluster of different
competitive
softball teams. It's not a league. They were just like, let's get together, play a series of games, tune up.
Well, while we're on that, always good friend of the podcast, Armpit, our friend that we play softball with, Pittman. He is part of that Aurora Fast Pitch Softball League. So if you ever played fast pitch as a youth, lady, man, woman, child, whatever.
Fish, dog.
Or haven't. They play Mondays and Wednesdays?
Last night really.
We're going to do this again.
Wednesdays. Mondays and Wednesdays are developmental games. So even if you've never played before or have interest in playing fast pitch softball, go to AuroraFastPitchSoftball.com, I think, or their Facebook page, and you can join a team.
Do it. But yeah, the weekend was good.
I remember what I was going to say. I'm excited that the weather's nicer because now outdoor venues are a thing again. There's something awesome about like sitting outside, music going, especially when the live music starts going, comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Get the deck of cards out, play some pigs. Fun fucking times.
The three of us went to an outdoor venue by the river in Yorkville this past weekend, and it was nice. It was just a little chilly, but like big man weather. That was great.
It's big man weather. The last of it. We're gone. Guys. Let's get into it. We'll talk some sports minutes. All right. We'll talk our favorite sports teams in the city of Chicago. We'll start with producer Jake. What's going on with the Blackhawks?
So the today, Tuesday, the NHL draft lottery took place. For those that don't know, we're 6 teams get ping pong balls thrown into a lottery machine. And if your ball's pulled, you get basically a first round pick. The worse you were, the more balls you have. So, the Blackhawks.
Wait, hold on.
The worst you were, yeah.
Right, but how many teams are in this pool?
The team's not in the playoffs, so the bottom 16.
I heard 6 teams, not 16.
Oh.
Got you. That's why I was very confused.
Non-playoff teams.
Gotcha.
So, the Blackhawks had one first-round pick. It was the 6th-round pick. But it's actually technically been traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Or sorry, 6th round pick, 6th overall pick.
Okay.
It's technically been traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets for Seth Jones, right? What are you laughing?
Are you okay?
No, guys, I'm struggling. traded to the Jackets for Seth Jones, unless it's protected, unless it's a top 2 pick. So we'd have to win the lottery essentially to keep that pick. Spoiler alert: did not win the lottery. That's Columbus's pick at 6.
But we could get a pick if the Wild.
We could get a first round pick if the Wild make it past the 2nd round and Fleury has 4 wins. And that would be pick 28 to 32.
Which question.
They're on their way.
Seth Jones.
Yep.
Young defenseman, right?
Yeah, we gave him like a 10-year deal.
Okay, which I think that answers the
young-ish,
question.
Young-ish, he's 28.
Okay, young-ish.
So like the late end of that deal could be bad. We'll see.
Is this like another slap bet? On defenseman contract longevity.
You want to do that right now?
No. What? We'll discuss it later. We'll discuss terms.
Okay.
Maybe next podcast we might have a bet to talk about.
All right.
Anyway, so we would willingly make this trade again knowing that it's a number 2 overall pick. Yes or no?
What?
So we made the trade Seth Jones for this pick, correct?
No, we acquired Seth Jones. We gave up this pick.
Okay, we're saying the same thing.
Okay.
So now knowing that that pick that you're giving away in this trade is a number six pick.
6 overall, yeah.
Would you still make that trade?
Maybe not. I mean, we're bad. I feel like I'd rather have draft capital than Seth. But I mean, Seth Jones is going to be around a long time. He's a veteran. He's probably going to be great to help younger defensemen, but
it just seems like a lot of money to tie up, a lot of money and a long time to tie up in a guy who's 28 when the rest of your young guys on that roster
might
not even be on that roster.
In a perfect world, you're competitive in 2 years, but realistically, it's going to be 3 or 4 years till you're really competitive.
And is he a top 15 defenseman in the league?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, so like...
Interesting.
He could... Who knows? He might be a trade piece later on. Not this early. There's no way you're going to move him with a 10-year deal, but we'll see.
I have one more question for you. Just a hockey question in general. So in hockey, we see a lot of athletes that go very late into their 30s and some even into their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Now that hockey's a bit more mainstream and you're getting more athletes and you're getting faster players and you're getting stronger players in, have we started to see that like there's very few of the 35 plus players, there's less of the 30-year-old players, there are more young guys?
Oh, well, yeah. So I see what you're saying. Yes. So the older crew is kind of starting to get weeded out besides the old superstars. Like Ovechkin's still around.
Sure.
Lundqvist stayed around for a long time. You still have Sid. You have Gino. You have a lot of these like superstars who have always been really good, who are going to stick around. What I think you're going to see potentially is what's happening is the younger group is – everybody across four lines can skate and handle the puck.
Whereas before,
that wasn't a thing. It's just like now everybody is stupid good with the puck on their stick. So, we'll see.
Interesting. It's becoming more mainstream, similar to soccer, where you're going to get more high-profile athletes going into those sports. That's why and I know so very little about the game, but the guys like Austin Matthews were – they're just that much faster than everyone else. Like, that's going to help them a lot throughout their career. But anyway, that's talking hockey.
Guys, that's a wrap that's on the talk. Blackhawks. Getting into the beloved, the Chicago Bears.
Bears.
Not much news.
No.
Right? We don't got much going on. Rookie Mooney Camp just wrapped up or is wrapping up. The Bears have signed some of their offseason additions, the rookies, undrafteds that they picked up, waived a couple people to. It's a... much to do about nothing here for a little bit. We're gonna see kind of stories and stuff coming out, press availability with these coaches. So you're gonna hear from Getsy, you're gonna hear from Poles, and they're gonna do their media tours. If you guys have heard some of the interviews, you're just gonna get a lot of fill right now. What you can't do, what you got to avoid, is you got to avoid the people that talk on Twitter and on Facebook and all these places and talk like they know it in fact. Like, they know that whatever their opinion is actually true, that Darnell Mooney, they're saying, is not a number one wide receiver, or that that Justin Fields is going to be in the worst position to possibly succeed of all young quarterbacks in the league. Guys, it's all just hearsay. It's all stuff to fill in time. We're doing it. Stuff to just fill in time.
Can I ask you a question to fill in time?
Please.
Do you think Darnell Mooney is a number one receiver?
No. I don't think he's a bona fide number one receiver. I think he might. I'm open to him eventually being it. I think people are stupid that are saying he's not a wide receiver too. He's a number two on a team.
What is his path to success? Give me a player comp in the NFL right now. If he was a blank type, he would have his best opportunity to be a solid number one.
I think it's tough to do that. I think I would kind of say that if he just continues to produce for a couple more years, if he does it for another 2 years or so, then at that point you have a couple years of nice production. Then he becomes one of those, you know, paid wide receivers in the league. You know, then you could say, okay, like I've seen you do it for an extended period of time.
Yeah, I actually like that answer. Actually,
I'm not going to say he's Tyreek Hill. I'm not going to say, you know, you have to be Tyreek Hill, because if you're going to be Tyreek Hill, you'll eventually
you're already Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
You don't just become Tyreek
Hill. Exactly. So, you know, it's just somebody who, like, if he gives you WR1 production, that's great, you know?
Well, that's a great point for everyone listening, and ourselves included, is as people talk about Mooney, a young receiver with some talent and potential, and start to make those comps like I just asked you to do, you can put whatever name you want in that blank. All that matters is that production, that wide receiver one level production. If he's giving you that, he can be Anquan Boldin on the Ravens from forever ago, or he can be Tyreek Hill on the Chiefs. Doesn't matter. That's a great point.
80 plus and 1,000 plus. Sounds good to me.
Sounds great to me. Can I go over one thing with you guys, though? Something that was brought up that I heard people debating it, that they don't like the way that Ryan Poles and Eberflus are building the team right now. And it's almost like they're building everything around everything except for Justin. I beg to differ. I almost think that you're setting yourself up in the position to where if it doesn't pan out with Justin, you've built everything else up already. You built your defense. You're given some options. You're given some weapons. You're going into 2023 with 100 plus million in cap space. If this year is as bad as it's going to be, you might have a top five, top 10 pick, secondary full of young guys, and you're basically clear of dead cap. Even if Justin isn't it, which I'm not saying he's not, I fully think he is, but you've opened yourself up to options that we can say for years and years we didn't have. This was it. This was our path, and we better hope Mitch Trubisky works, because the defense is getting old, because the so-and-so is happening. A little different perspective. I'm excited.
What do you think about that, Jake?
I mean, yeah, I don't think they went about it poorly. I think we just have a lot of holes, and so they back down in the draft to acquire more picks and try to fill as many holes as possible. And they knew everybody was going to go for these wide receivers, so I think they tried to take the best available players in this draft that were not in abundance, you know.
Yep.
So Sam, they people wanted offensive linemen, myself included. They didn't get the top names, but they got four of them or whatever it was. So you got to be happy about that. You were a big wide receiver, Hardo. They walked away with Velus Jones, which, you know, it's a fine third round pick. Are you mad they didn't go for it in the second round? It's like, to this Eberflus and Poles point, are you upset that they didn't get more offense early on?
Honestly, not anymore. I mean, I was upset. I think we mentioned it last week, is that the frustration was instantly gone after 5 minutes, just thinking about what our immediate needs were, how good those players were that we drafted with our first two picks, the holes they fill. That's awesome. I'm good with it. And I think there's potential with Velus Jones. I just listened to that awesome interview. I don't know if anybody else tuned in, but they had him on 670 on my way here. And it was great. I loved everything the guy said. Seems like he has a great head on his shoulders. Mature dude. I don't see how that's a bad pick. And I know that doesn't fully answer your question, but I'm not pissed at them for reaching for someone else or reaching for Pickens or anything like that. All things considered, I'm good with it. And there's always next year. Like, there's another draft. And there's going to be another crop of wide receivers that are fucking awesome. So
keep in mind,
they're still free agents. That's yes. I took the words out of your mouth. I saw it on your
Jarvis
your
Landry. Well, and also I was going to say, keep in mind, I mean, not only through the draft, but through undrafted free agency as well. The Bears signed eight wide receivers on top of anybody else. Like we said, Jarvis Landry, a couple other, you know, vets that are waiting to see kind of how everything shakes
out. Throw shit at the wall. Hey, we'll see what happens.
You got the money right now.
Well, now realistically, of those eight, two of them might make the roster.
Two or three, yeah.
So I'm with you.
Oh, yeah.
More darts to the wall, more darts you have opportunities to stick.
That's a wrap on the Beloved. I love the Beloved. I can't wait for football. Beloved.
Minicamp started.
Yeah.
And rookie minicamp.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get actual like off-season, what the OTAs will come up, and they'll actually have camp. That's not till end of July at this point. And then, boom, we're back to it. Schedule gets released this week, so.
Ooh. Early rundown of the schedule next week.
Can't wait.
This is our conundrum. We're going to get a fourth place schedule, and we're going to look at it and go, ooh, we might win 8-9 of these games.
I mean, I told you guys a couple weeks ago the quarterbacks that you're going to end up playing this year. If you look at the teams and the starting quarterbacks, it's not too intimidating.
There was a whole Reddit post that was just titled, I don't know what you guys are seeing, but this is a 10-win team.
I also saw that post. Awesome.
By Sammy Stats. Guys, getting into...
I've been moonlighting.
The Chicago Bulls. Not much with the Chicago Bulls offseason right now. I saw that Derek Jones Jr. is probably not going to come back. Oh, makes sense. Oh, no. But
just rumor mill time.
Rumor mill time, and I'm deep in the rumor mill.
So which one? I'm sorry, you finished first. I'm sorry I cut you off.
Well, the only thing is Zach LaVine is now rumored. Execs in the league believe that Zach LaVine would be willing to take a 4-year deal somewhere else and leave Chicago and end up like Portland is a place that's now
clearing
up cap space.
That's the one I heard this morning.
Yeah, Portland's clearing up cap space. Other teams are thinking that they might have a shot at not a sign and trade.
Like just that Zach would literally just abandons the 5th year.
He would be okay
just
to
sign elsewhere.
I'll sign a 4-year for 180 or whatever I'm going to get. Maybe it's like I don't even know what a max four-year deal is.
38. I think it comes out to like 30.
He gets another contract.
That's the thing. Then he hits free agency around
a year sooner.
He hits free agency at 31, hoping to get paid out again.
I think the 4 years like 120.
I think you do that like. You got to be hesitant if you're Zach LaVine. That's a big gamble on a guy who's already had a couple. Like you're gonna be 27 years old and already have had 2 knee surgeries in this league.
Also, that argument of getting another contract just doesn't make financial sense because you're gonna make so much money on this Supermax deal.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense to try to get another Supermax year somewhere else. This is your opportunity to do so. So like. I think that's rumor mill smoke because we got a lot of time to kill.
It could be agent smoke too, just like
right.
blowing out potential other rumors to try to get the Bulls to latch on, you know.
Oh yeah, like if that's actual advice that somebody is giving Zach LaVine,
mm-hmm.
you need to fire them. You need to fire them because you suffer some other catastrophic knee injury. Let's say he re-tears, knock on wood. Retears an ACL, the same ACL as he did when he was in Minnesota. You think you're getting money like that at age 31?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Security now. Security right now.
Derrick Rose isn't.
Derrick Rose didn't get that next one. It's crazy how fast it changes.
It's so funny. I'm reading an article right now, and I'm on the part where it brings up the Derrick Rose rule in yep. quotation marks. It's crazy.
It's a thing because of him. So other than that, guys, Bulls not too much. NBA playoffs.
Spicy.
Playoffs getting really spicy.
They are. These are actually good matchups.
Dude, great. This Bulls cell or this oh man, this Bucks Celtics series, it's going to go 7 games.
It confuses me so much when I'm scrolling through the TV guide.
Why?
Cuz the whole thing's green.
It's oh. just green on green.
And I'm just like, "Wait, what teams are those?" And I'm squinting. Just that, means I need a bigger TV.
That's a great series. Giannis is putting up historic numbers. Giannis is so unbelievably good. He shot 44% last night or 2 nights ago, whatever night they played. When you're listening to this, I hate that. But shot like 44%. He's averaging like 30, 14, 7. Never been done.
Was one of I heard something. Was one of the Celtics players like complaining about the way that Giannis just is bulldozing his way through the paint or something? He's just bouncing off of people. And it's like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, well, what can you do? I mean,
did you see the Al Horford thing?
How he put up 30?
Well, that, but like,
his name's Al.
Like,
what up, Al?
Giannis went for a dunk. He essentially dunked on Horford. It wasn't that great, but like, he gave him like a like in his face kind of thing. And as Giannis turns around, Al Horford does the okay. So next time he goes up, Horford goes up, slams it, like he actually dunks on Giannis, and it looks like in the video to me, I don't know if anyone else thinks this, looks like he works the elbow in there a little bit, just a couple times real quick, a
couple high elbows.
Oh, it's just for bam, balance bam. It's just for balance,
and then of course comes good. Down with the big
it's just for balance, man. It's perfect. clean beautiful.
Chef's kiss.
In the other Eastern Conference matchup, Heat and Sixers. So Joel Embiid is back. The
post,
Sixers.
Post concussion.
I thought you said heating Sixers.
Heating Sixers. Heat.
I'm so lost.
And Sixers.
Yes, please describe basketball to me.
Joel Embiid's back. Post concussion. He's got the mask on. Basketball players with the mask look so fucking cool.
Rip Hamilton.
Especially when you're a fucking baller like Joel Embiid. This series is swinging back and forth so much. Now Kyle Lowry's hurt. Now you might not have Lowry. Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo are going to have to do it themselves. So
I mean, it's still a solid crew.
Yeah, that series is tied up at 2-2. How do you go against who should have been the MVP? Joel Embiid. He got robbed.
I don't know. The guy's awesome.
Well, dude, I mean, this team is just so different now that Joel is back. Because without him, what's his face just wasn't getting it done.
Harden.
Just Joel is the Sixers. He is everything to that team.
Tobias Harris real good at basketball too. They just he's also an all-star. Just saying.
Yeah. But I think playoffs, and we're seeing it now in every series, it comes down to superstars.
Yes, it does.
Every single time.
As the Bulls learned very, very quickly.
Which could be the Heat's downfall, yep. Is they don't have – they have a very good team. They play solid
Jimmy's
defense.
A superstar.
Jimmy's a superstar?
Jimmy's a superstar.
Cousin Jimmy?
Jimmy's a superstar.
Shout out Cousin Jimmy.
We're going to do this.
Bam is not a superstar.
No.
But Jimmy's a superstar.
Should we have – okay.
First team or second team?
Should we have just kept something Jimmy? That I – stop.
First team or second team?
So how many teams are left in the playoffs?
Top 10 Eight? Or top 20?
What do you think?
Eight.
Eight teams? Is Jimmy a top five player?
In the remaining?
No, just in the NBA?
No.
No.
Is there only five superstars in the NBA? That's a small list.
I'll give John. No. Jimmy's like top four. Well, right. Top 14.
Yeah, I'd say Jimmy's like top 14.
Jimmy might be top 10.
Arguable. Yeah.
I'd say there's more than 15 superstars in the NBA.
I think you're using superstar 15? Really loosely
I think,
there.
Yeah.
Fair.
Bunch of really good
You
stars.
Can name them if you want. LeBron.
Bunch of really good players. Superstars.
Steph Curry.
Devin Booker. Joel Embiid.
Is Anthony Nikola Davis
Jokic.
One?
No. Street Clothes is not one.
Okay. I'm just kidding. Good.
Giannis is one. There's those names there.
Well, like
Jimmy Butler's
but
not.
Here's the thing. Like Luka needs
you
to
say,
be
yeah,
in
you
that
said
talk.
Doncic, right?
Yeah, Luka's a star. Luka's a superstar.
Trae Young. Is Trae Young up there?
Jason Tatum's a superstar.
Is he working on
Giannis.
It? Would you say Trae's working
yes.
on it?
Trae Young's
Joel.
A star.
Yes.
Superstar.
Steph.
Yes.
Superstar.
LeBron.
Superstar.
Ja.
Yep.
We're naming a lot of superstars
superstar.
All of a sudden.
Yeah, there's like
we're
10 of
well
them.
Well over five.
There's 10 of them.
So we're all saying the same thing. Got it. Frog protection.
But I just don't think Jimmy Butler, like, name those names and then try to put Jimmy Butler next to those names.
It doesn't work.
I don't think you're...
Doesn't
I don't
work.
I think Jimmy's
that
holding the
much
door.
Further behind them.
But, I
but that's
think,
what we're saying. He's
but
like
he's
top
outside,
14.
I think he's outside looking
well,
in.
Well, I mean, we haven't gone Jake's through the whole right. list yeah, of Jake. Teams. Like, we looked at eight teams right there, and we got six guys off the top.
Find me another one.
I mean, fuck. Just look at any team that didn't make the playoffs.
I'm also thinking of, like, who's marketable,
Towns.
Too. You know, as these star. Superstars.
Karl-Anthony Towns. See,
star.
I
that's
think
fair.
The
that's,
drop-off between.
That's fine.
I think there's about, you're right, about 13 superstars.
I consider.
I said 14, you're like, you can have 14, but there are 13 superstars.
Like,
I think your first team All-NBA is superstars. What is that, 10 players?
Giannis.
A given year.
Yeah, and it's usually the same people over and over and over again.
Usually, but not. There's a lot of variance, I would argue. And so, like, those three or four.
Well, I guess there's. Sorry, there is variance just because you can't.
Like, Dame, there's another one.
You can't have.
I don't know
if
Dame's a
you don't
a
think
superstar
Dame's a superstar.
No, I put him as star now.
You
he's
are
kind
crazy.
Of been shuffled.
Crazy, man.
Because more guys move in. I consider it like it's a finite amount. It can never be too many. And it's usually less than half the amount of teams in the league. So if 15 is half the teams, I think the amount of like grade A, top tier superstars is going to be less
on
than
the
15.
Verge.
It's going to be less
not
than
a superstar
15.
Yet.
You don't think
yeah,
Trae
he's
Young's
working
a
on it.
Not
he's
yet.
He's working on it. He's a star.
I honestly don't think.
And he just had a bad year.
I really don't know if. You can put Ja Morant in superstar category just yet.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Superstar.
Paul George.
Sorry.
Kawhi
See,
Leonard.
This is the thing, though.
Chris
that's
Paul.
Fine. Kawhi like, Leonard.
Chris Paul.
He's been hurt.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
The Claw.
I mean, superstar. Maybe star. We're not going to do this no more.
Well, let's like, do that's it. The thing. We got to 10 easily.
Put the sock and boppers on. Let's do it.
Anyway.
I think there's a bunch of people... To wrap this up, there's a bunch of people you could make the argument for, but when it comes down to actually picking, there's going to be a lot of honorable mentions, but you'll know the names that you need to put above the people like Jimmy, like Kawhi, like Trae Young.
That's fair.
Like is Jason Tatum a superstar?
Yes.
Yes.
See?
Quick question.
Answer.
Before we get off basketball.
Well, we got the Western still to do, so.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
In the West... The Suns are tied with the Mavericks 2-2. I think Luke is going to carry the Mavericks to win that series in
He's
seven
so
games.
On his pudgy back.
He is unbelievably good at basketball.
And very oddly shaped.
You know what's crazy?
He is a weird-shaped basketball superstar.
He's a thick boy.
So he was in the draft.
For sure.
He was in the draft with DeAndre Ayton, right? And Ayton went first because it was the tried and true formula of always take the seven-footer.
Yeah, the Arizona stud.
That's dead, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't have to take the seven-footer anymore.
Nah.
Like, if you're feeling Ja Morant, you take Ja Morant, right? If you're feeling Luka Doncic, because you knew what Doncic was coming out of Spain.
Well, that's like LaMelo didn't get drafted because he didn't want to deal with his dad. So you picked James Wiseman. Wasn't that the same draft?
No.
James Wiseman? Wasn't that the same draft?
He got drafted second.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
You said Wiseman undrafted. Went first.
Yeah.
Okay, like, okay. Oh, okay. How's Wiseman doing for you?
Yeah, well, and he was hurt again, so you don't really know. But yeah, dude, it's like, I think if you know, you know. You don't have to take the seven-footer. It doesn't have to be like that anymore. The game's different.
Absolutely.
And in the other matchup, you got the Warriors and the Grizzlies. Warriors up 3-1. Unfortunately, Ja Morant out with the bone bruise. Unlikely for game 5. And I think that's basically a wrap on the Grizzlies season. If he can't go,
yeah,
and he can't go at 100%, you're asking a lot out of even 100% Grizzlies team to take down that Warriors team. That's a wrap on that series.
You're asking them to do it 3 times without losing.
Warriors are going to end up getting a little time to recover, get Steve Kerr back because he's out on COVID protocols, and they'll wait for the winner of Mavericks and Suns. Dale, you were going to say something.
Going into next year, the Bulls, you can consider Pat Will a power forward. He's probably better suited at small forward, but that's the only power forward on the roster. How do you feel about that?
I'm scared.
I'm scared. You scared, go church.
Dude, I think you're going to have a whole offseason of like, this could get crazy. Best case scenario, Zach re-signs, you sign him, and you know what your money situation is, so you know what you can attack in free agency.
Worst case scenario.
He fucking
Dale
leaves
was
for
right,
nothing.
And we tear the whole thing down.
And
guys,
that's even
I'm
worse,
waiting
though.
For you guys to realize that that's the only option.
No,
at this
but
point.
that's not even what we're saying. Like, because even you wouldn't have said that Zach LaVine was going to walk away for nothing. He was going to.
No, I wouldn't have said that. By
that's
any means.
worst case scenario. Like Dale being right isn't worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is Zach LaVine leaves for nothing, and we now had this asset that we could have flipped or signed or done something, and then he leaves for nothing. That's worst case.
I don't know if that's the worst case scenario.
What's your worst case scenario?
My worst case scenario is like NBA lockout, nobody plays. I mean, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
I don't see that stats. One. That's not even on the table.
See? I'm just saying, guys. There's a lot worse things than Zach Semi-stats LaVine everybody. Just leaving. I'm just trying to put that out there.
Getting into baseball.
A lot worse things than somebody leaving a basketball team.
Lalladale, get us into what's going on with the Northsiders, the
it's
Chicago
bad,
Cubs.
It's bad. Yeah, it's just real bad.
We're going to lose 100 games. So.
Yeah. This sounds really familiar.
We're going to lose 100
Everyone
games.
Thought I was crazy after they had a hot start, but
Who thought you were crazy?
I got some scolding here after like the first week or two when the Cubs were fairly competitive still.
Marcos and I get hot. Whatever.
That's yeah. fine.
Let
That's
us ride
fine.
Away.
I was with you all the way, dog.
Fuck off.
Let us ride
anyway,
away.
Anyway.
No, we'll get to you.
Yeah. The Cubs, it's bad. Hendricks threw a gem last night. He got like 8 2/3 before giving up a walk and then getting yanked. But anyway, it's really bad. That was the first game we've won in a week. Seiya's hurt with some right ankle soreness. Appears to be day-to-day. Frank Schwindel apparently got optioned to AAA.
But he's back.
But he's back immediately.
They
like,
called him. He was halfway to Iowa.
There was a there's a nail in his tire, so he never left for Iowa. he just went straight to O'Hare to catch a flight to San Diego because someone, potentially Stroman, I believe, hit COVID protocols. Something fucking wacky happened. So Frank got optioned and then recalled in like 24 hours. Fucking
what a day.
Stupidity. But yeah, anyway, Cubs are bad.
Okay.
That's it. Nothing else really to talk about there. It's going to be a tough season. Buckle up.
Can I ask a question here?
Sure, why not?
Because I've
got fucking time.
I've accepted this.
Welcome.
We're going to be bad for a long time.
Yeah.
We're going to be bad for a while.
Yes. There's no way around it. Like, you look at the pitching staff. There's not a pitcher that will be on the team when the Cubs are good again that is currently in a Cubs uniform.
I mean, you don't even have them in your system.
You might have one or two in your system, maybe, but like the entire pitching, including the bullpen, all of them will be gone in the next 2 to 3 years. And none of them are coming. There's just no reason to.
They're all 30-year-old AAA call-ups.
Yep. And in the lineup,
we call those quadruple-A-ers.
In the lineup, let's be real, Nico's probably not sticking it. He's
Nico's a conundrum. You're gonna have Nicky
because you don't have anyone better. See, that's the thing. Nicky Two Strikes has decided that he wanted to learn what it's like to strike out a bunch, so that's happening now. There may not be many people on this team right now that are still on the team in general when the Cubs are good again.
Say ya.
Maybe.
Damn.
What's our timeline? 4 years?
See, that's the thing. What's the timeline? Are you assuming they do it right the first time?
No. Because
do you remember the 90s for the Cubs?
I block out bad memories.
Like Mark Grace got a lot of hits. There you go. That's what happened in the 90s, guys.
True.
That's it. You want 4 years is a conservative timeline.
You mean aggressive?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry. I looked at that as a minimum. Yes, 4 years is a very aggressive timeline. Extremely aggressive.
At least we're not Reds fans.
Oh, yeah. That's just a whole different
thing. Yeah, so what's Reds watch? What's Reds watch this week? Where are we at?
Oh, what are they like? I think they're like 5-20.
Let's make ourselves feel a little bit better as Cubs fans really quick.
Well, at least we're not
6-23.
6-23.
No, they're bad.
They won a series.
Oh, yeah, they're bad.
Oh, yeah, they won their first series.
And they're looking to trade.
Because there were two
reportedly. They're going to trade Castillo and what's the other pigeon? Maley. Yeah, they're looking to trade those two. They're literally going, we're going to be a AAA team. Take anyone.
Do you want this bench?
Exactly. So yeah, Cubs in a
nice bench.
That minute took a lot longer than a minute. That's the Cubs.
Producer Jake.
Yep.
I want to talk about this.
Uh huh.
I think we need to accuse this team of fraudulence.
What? I think that's aggressive.
Oh. Okay.
What makes you? Here's the thing. This team goes from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows.
How low can they go?
Right back to the highest of highs.
How high?
And then they follow that up with one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life.
It was horrible.
Fraudulence, I don't think is the word.
Dale, what was your favorite moment of the blown White Sox
game? Doesn't even know what happened.
Was it the Grand Slam or like...
Or the fact that he had a fucking three-runner.
Dale doesn't even know what happened.
No.
Dale's unaware.
So the only thing that I'm aware of...
Allow me to walk you through the game.
I went up against Hendricks last night, so that was nice for me.
Against Hendricks? Yeah. Oh.
Are you talking about fantasy?
Always.
Nobody cares.
Grady,
all roads lead to fantasy with Dale's brain.
The only thing you should be happy about is if you had Josh Naylor.
I don't.
Well, let me tell you what happened. The White Sox were cruising.
Try not to jizz, Dale.
Kopech, phenomenal game. 6 innings, like 5-6 strikeouts, 1 run unearned. Great start, right? Bullpen starts coming in. You got to see Joe Kelly, who I already am in love with.
Oh, everybody loves that guy.
When no one's on base, his windup is just not fair. Sometimes it's fast. Sometimes it's really slow, and then there's a knuckle curve that'll just make your head spin. It's just not. I love him. Did great. We go through to the ninth inning. The White Sox.
What's the score?
Oh, sorry. Actually, in the eighth inning. So the score is 5-2 in the eighth. AJ Pollock hits his first home run for the White Sox. It's a 3-run bomb. And it's 8-2.
It wasn't.
Win probability 99%.
Through the roof. Liam Hendricks was warming up in the eighth. Sit him down. Don't need him. Go into the ninth. Ryan Burr comes into pitch. First pitch, home run, solo shot. whatever. Ugh, 8-3.
Damn
Let's
shame.
Keep her moving. Well, then you follow that up with a fly ball to left field. Not caught, just a base hit. Thrown in. Tim Anderson misses the throw, and the guy goes from first to third.
TA's been having a tough start.
Yes, the White Sox have had a tough start. That's in terms of defense. 26 errors in 28 stuff. Games.
That's bad.
Abysmal.
Tim Anderson has 9 errors already on the season.
He 10, had 10 last season.
All of last year.
Incredible. Anyway, bad, okay, so continue bad. With this.
That's his second error of the game, by the way.
Oh, poor guy.
So,
big TA fan.
Next batter. Ground ball to Yoan Moncada. Short hop, hits the wrist of his glove, no play. Okay, so now another run scores. Now it's 8-4. Okay. Ryan Burr keeps pitching. Mm-hmm, he gets another runner on. So now there's a runner on first and second.
Uh-huh.
Hendricks warming up, bringing Hendricks. Okay.
Well, bring him in.
The save is back on.
Yeah.
Hendricks comes in. There's one out at this point. Hendricks comes in, gives up a base hit, base is jacked.
Uh-huh.
Josh Naylor enters.
No.
Hall of Famer.
No.
No.
Grand slam.
No.
You're the fucking worst.
Grand slam ties the game, and I'm in shambles. I was ready for bed. I had poured a glass of whiskey. I was like, I'm going to watch the end of this game, and then I'm going to go right to bed.
I had some candles lit. I was going to treat myself.
It's
like, don't
let my belly
button. It's
laptop
like 10 o'clock at night. I was so ready for bed, and now I'm as soon as the first home run again went up and then the errors happened, I texted my brother. I was like, what's happening? What is happening? And sure enough, all hell broke loose. We go to the bottom of the ninth. We get out of the inning. It's now a tie ball game.
Call that getting out of
I wouldn't call it. Yeah.
Well,
we get out of it without losing right there. We go to the bottom of ninth.
Field hospital.
Nothing happens. Oh, actually, no. We had the bases loaded. Couldn't get her done. Couldn't get her done in the bottom of ninth. He's go to dead. The tenth. Stupid baseball rules. Runner on second. They score one. Bottom. We score one. Also had bases loaded again. Didn't get it done. Then go into the top of the, what is it now? 11th. The 11th?
Dude, this has got to be what? Like it's like 11.
It's like 11, 11:30. I'm pissed. I've poured a second whiskey because now, and I've just been, my internet,
I'd be three or four.
Twitter is a dark place for me at this point.
Yeah, at this point, the whiskey's medicine.
And so we go to the 11th. They get runners on.
Get them, TJ.
There's one out. Josh Naylor comes up, and rather than walking the son of a bitch, pitch to him, and he hits a 3-run home run. Josh Naylor had 8 RBIs in this game. And In 3 at-bats.
The guy that was after, so a base is open on third. The guy that's batting after
Naylor.
After Naylor is like, he was the pinch runner. He was the guy that started. He was the pinch runner, batting like a .180. Base open, and they threw it to him anyway.
These
and,
fucking idiots. And, and Ronaldo Lopez went down. He, like, has a back spasm, got pulled out of the game.
Oh, okay.
So that sucked. Well, because you're already burning pitchers. You just needed arms, right? And then the fucking Indians just have a guy throwing 102-mile-an-hour cutters.
Yeah. Doesn't everybody?
Clause?
I don't know.
Yeah, that is true.
Emmanuel Clause?
Yeah,
ridiculous. Clause. Anyways.
And he was painting the strike.
Go to the bottom of the 11th.
Yeah, no, he's good.
Don't get it done. They lose that ball game. It was abysmal.
You fucking suck.
You suck.
Josh Naylor has the game of his career. Okay, and the other thing that kills me, so we talked about the errors. There's 4 errors that game. The final score was 12-9 Indians.
Mm-hmm.
How many were earned? How many did our pitchers take?
8 or 9.
No, it's gotta be lower than that.
Like half.
It's gotta be like probably 5 or 6, see, right?
It's 4.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
God.
4 earned runs.
It's good for the pitching
off
staff.
Off of 12.
How many of those were tagged to Burr?
2.
And then how many to Hendricks?
Yeah, that's 2. Too bad. Those are the only
those
earned
the
runs.
Two.
Even off a grand slam, yeah, that's shit.
No, that's impossible.
No, it's possible.
If there was a home run earlier in the game, I thought you said that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's still nuts. Just nuts.
This is a game that you remember forever, right? No, he had an RBI, right?
Dale. He didn't have a homer earlier in the game. Pollock had a homer earlier in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Jake, this is a game that you remember forever, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's one of the worst things I've ever witnessed.
Big time.
Imagine
meltdown.
It just the whole way through, just a meltdown completely. It just disgusting.
Who do you put this on? Do you put this on Tony? Do you put this on the players? Do you?
No, you put this. No, this is on the players. Baseball's this is
weird.
On bad you defense. Said it. You, those two errors in the ninth were everything. That, like, Moncada's is a for sure out. The one that Anderson caused was never going to be an out, but you let that guy go from first to third.
Yeah.
And it was immediately like, if Moncada fields that ball, you could have had a double play or just gotten the guy out at first, had two outs, and you never get to that point. That's why there's no earned runs after that, because the inning should have been over.
That's slow pitch softball stuff.
Is that a wrap on Sox? Are you doing a little research?
I was going to pull up who had the earned runs, but I don't know. It's all about how they bounce back after that. It's one game in May. Like, you have to just let that go, but it just abysmal. Abysmal.
So that's a hell of a White Sox
move. Earned runs, one Foster, one Banks, two Hendricks. How does that add up? No, yeah. Sorry. Two Burr, two Hendricks, one Banks, one Foster.
So six earned runs.
Six.
Why? So could you? How am I reading this? This is four earned runs, but
reading's hard, okay.
There's six listed.
Will two of the guys share one?
Maybe. That's the MLB app.
This is a great podcast.
So is there anything else depressing about the Sox that you could pump our tires with right now?
No. I mean, it was just a bad game.
Okay.
I liked everything I saw until that ninth inning. It was going to be their seventh win in a row.
It was great until it was bad.
It was going to be the seventh win in a row.
That's really profound.
It was bad. Okay. Highs and lows. It's just there's nothing in between. Nothing's easy.
That's not a recipe for all success gas, when you want a championship team.
Or it's all breaks.
You're supposed to follow the directions on the back of the box.
Crazy.
Unless you can be all gas through October.
That's a wrap on the White Sox. Guys, we'll do a little end of the sports minutes pot, right? We're going to throw a bunch of things in here, make a little gumbo, make a little jambalaya.
Okay.
One last thing real quick. Remember to hit us up on the socials as
please
we will
do.
Be doing a contest there for the Cubs tickets that Packers owner Jose has been so kind as to donate us.
Shout out. We love you, but we hate your stupid guts.
Tweet at Jose and tell him you hate him.
He doesn't know his Twitter. Guys. Did you guys watch Kentucky Derby over the weekend?
You're goddamn right I did.
80-1.
80-1.
Insane. The overhead video is incredible.
The call.
Awesome. You don't even hear the horse's name until the last second.
Guys, I was like, Kayla and I had just finished project at the house. Left to grab a beer. I was like, let's just go grab a beer really quick over at Fatty's. Shout out Fatty's in DeKalb. Grabbed a beer.
Potato salad.
The place is packed, right? Packed. And the Derby's on like a bunch of TVs, but not all of them. No one's really watching. I see this from the final turn going to the finish, and like I don't have a bunch of money on this or anything. I'm watching this, and I'm watching Rich Strike work through the field, and I'm like, oh my God! Oh my God! I just start yelling in the middle of this bar, and Kayla's like, calm down, they're staring at you. And I look around, I'm like, is nobody seeing this?
Sam said, fuck them.
Like, everyone's like, what's so crazy about it? I'm like, it's insane!
Is no one watching?
No!
That's
I'm
crazy.
Like, guys,
that's wild.
I'm like, guys, it's like, this never happens.
Even people that don't watch the ponies, like, you watch a couple of these.
Right,
ones.
I didn't know.
You watch the pre-race.
I knew enough to know the jokes.
You watched the Triple Crown.
I knew enough to know that this is wild. You don't even have to know shit about horse racing.
The longest shot.
Crazy.
In the 150 years that this race has been run.
It's like the second time. That's it.
Can I give you guys the craziest story I heard? Because you hear people trickle in about, you know, I'm Richard and I umpire and they called me Richie Strike. So I threw $20 on it because I shared my name. You know, you hear weird, goofy shit like that all the time.
Yeah.
I heard this story that was unbelievable. So this guy signs up on FanDuel and or like the TVG account or whatever it is through FanDuel, however that sports betting app worked. But they basically gave you $200 free to place.
Oh, wow.
And if you lose it, you just get it back. No big deal.
Yeah.
So the wife tells the guy, because they sign up, they're eating breakfast. The wife tells him, well, why wouldn't you just put it on the longest odds possible? Because if not, no big deal. So 80-1, $200 would have won you $16,000. So he goes, yeah, you know, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. And never ends up booking it, right? So he books he ends up booking or kind of placing bets on a couple other ones, the one that finished second place.
Sure.
So they're watching the race together.
Oh, this poor guy.
And the wife is celebrating watching this race happen because she thinks that they have a ticket
for 16 G's.
For 16 G's. And so the guy's sitting there watching his wife celebrate and has to just kind of sit there and let it play out. So she's all excited. Oh my God. Oh my God. Because they did a little graphic on, like, you know, a $10 bet pays this much money. And she said, oh my God, and we bet $200. And then he had to sit her down and say, I'm so sorry.
Look, honey.
But I did not make this bet. Pour yourself a drink.
Oof.
Sit down.
That's a tough one.
And do not book that cruise.
This is a tough one.
We are not going to Tahiti.
Yeah, that hurts.
Poor guy.
That hurts.
You guys watch any UFC over the weekend?
Well, so, but do you know any backstory on Rich Strike at all?
He's a $30,000
claiming racehorse, like just low level racing. One, basically, you win ownership in those races. Like, it's his second ever win is in the Derby. It's
not a big deal.
It's the greatest underdog story of all time,
I would say. Besides Rudy.
No, fuck it, Rudy. He's an asshole. But, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Greater than...
Build a statue. No.
University of Baltimore, Maryland, Golden Retrievers?
No, UMBC. Lives forever in my heart. They're the Golden Retrievers, but man. They're the Golden Retrievers. I just don't want to hear.
Hey, but see, UMBC made the tournament. Rich Strike hadn't made the tournament yet.
He ran in the fucking Kentucky Derby.
He showed up. He was there were four scratches. That's how he got in.
He was added at 8:40 in the morning.
He was added at 8:40 in the morning the day of the race.
UMBC good boys.
He just showed up. Rich Strike is like the emergency goalie at the United Center. Just like, hey,
best job
you're up.
E-bug.
Yeah.
E-bug.
You're up.
And
wins the bitch.
Did you guys watch UFC?
No. I didn't. As soon as he blew weight, I was just like, I'm out.
It was an okay.
That head kick was cool.
The Michael Chandler Ferguson head kick knocked out Tony Ferguson.
Snapped him.
Dude, they went back and forth first round. You thought, damn, this is going to be a long-ass fight. These guys are going to kick the shit out of each other. 17
Wrong.
Seconds into the second. I love Wrong. Knockouts now that, like, cameras are so good.
Yeah.
That they get the freeze shots, the screenshots of, like, their faces all squished and morphed and just...
Ugh.
Dude,
he like, loads jab, but the leg just, like... Because you flinch jab, you block, like, you don't see that leg coming, and then it just smokes you in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Oliveira chokes out Gaethje in the first round. Whatever. My big disappointment of that card, Thug Rose was awful. Thug Rose was awful, and she had the gall to dance around the ring afterwards like she thought she won that in a decision.
I never understand that.
Dog, and it wasn't. They threw 25 punches total. Like, or they landed 25 punches total.
That's just bad.
Something like that. Basically, the same amount was done in the first minute or so of the Chandler Ferguson fight. It was just an awful co-main event of that night. And then Cowboy Cerrone didn't end up fighting. That was canceled. And then another one went in. So these cards are ever changing. But next card, we'll touch back with our guy, Omar. We'll get another addition to Omar's Corner. We'll see what's up.
Omar's Corner.
That's going to be a wrap on Sports Minutes. Boys, in honor of Sweetness episode, I've decided to make the boys a game. My
Ooh,
sweet
okay.
boys.
I like games.
Get a sweet ass game. Today, my boys, we're going to be playing the Sweetness game.
Okay.
I was wondering why you were calling us sweet boys earlier.
So, I'm
trying to butter our biscuits.
Sweetness game is simple. I will give you guys 10 questions, and you'll get the theme of my quiz here really soon. Write down your answers. We'll go over them at the end. Play at home. Let us know how you did. You might win something if you do.
Don't play while driving, please.
Please don't play while driving.
Do it if you're bad.
Question one of the Sweetness game. Invented by William Morrison in 1897, this colorful sweet was originally referred to as fairy floss. Number two, introduced by Frank and Ethel Mars in 1929. This candy bar was named after the family of horse. Different variations, chocolate, nut filled, caramel, you know the drill. You know the one.
What?
Easy.
Number three, these sweets were invented in 1866 by Daniel Chase and Oliver Chase. These famous candies are made of batter of sugar, corn syrup, gelatin, and food coloring. Before World War I, these came in different shapes, including baseballs, watches, and horseshoes. Totally customizable.
What the fuck is going on?
What? Go on.
I'm not following you.
Yeah,
at
no.
All.
Can you repeat that?
Very,
word?
I'm very confused.
These are all candies.
They're all candies.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah. No, I got that part. Thank you.
So these famous candies are made from sugar, corn syrup, gelatin, and food coloring. Before World War I, these came in different shapes, including baseballs, watches, horseshoes, and they are totally customizable. Number four, this delicious treat was founded by a former Hershey employee in 1923, originally referred to as penny cups. These peanut butter filled treats are the highest selling snack size candy bar year after year to date.
That makes sense.
I love them.
Famous for their slogan, melt in your mouth, not in your hand. Hey, yo! They are famously known for their plain and peanut styles, but offer more than 15 different varieties.
Yep.
What number is that?
Number five.
So that's not number two.
Wait.
Got it.
So the former Hershey employee former was Hershey a separate
employee,
one.
Former Hershey employee was number four.
Yep.
And then five is famous for melting your mouth, not in your hand. Number six. Not named after a galaxy. This candy is actually named after malted milk, a popular drink around the time it was first released, 1923. Early ads claimed the candy bar had more malted milk content than a soda fountain double malted milk. Number seven, these vegan treats originated in Sweden in the 1950s, or as the Swedes refer to them, pastelfiskar. Fans have long debated the flavor of this candy, with some insisting on cherry, others suggesting blackcurrant, watermelon, and even lingonberry.
I hope I'm right on this one.
Number eight, these colorful candies were a favorite of former President Ronald Reagan. Introduced in 1976, the eight original flavors include berry cherry, root beer, cream soda, tangerine, green apple, lemon, licorice, and grape. Favorite of former President Ronald Reagan. Fuck that, Pluto.
Reagan smash.
I don't know candy at all.
Number nine, this candy bar is made of a combination of toffee and milk chocolate. It is said to be a legitimate American-made product, first invented in 1928. It was first marketed and sold under a different name up until around the 1920s before being the famous bar that we know today. Again.
Toffee and what?
Made of a combination of toffee and milk chocolate.
Maybe.
Number 10, this fat-free candy has its own unique shape, much like a snowflake. Although there are many denouncers, this low-calorie candy is a Halloween favorite, although I don't know how that's even possible. People don't just buy it for Halloween either. The company says they make 3,500 pounds of this candy every hour during production time.
It looks like a snowflake?
It doesn't. It says much like a snowflake. It has its own shape.
I gave up like five ago.
That works. I'm trying.
It has its own
colorful fairy floss, and I don't even know what the second question was.
I got a decent
I'm
guess
very
for that
confused.
One.
Confused.
This is good. I'm happy.
One more time. It was a
number 10. This fat-free candy has its own unique shape, much like a snowflake. Much like its
yeah,
own
yeah,
shape.
Yeah, yeah.
Although there are many denouncers of this low-calorie candy,
yeah.
It is a Halloween
I got that
favorite.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Can you repeat two, and then let's get this thing going?
Yeah, number two, introduced by Frank and Ethel Mars in 1929. It was named after the family horse. Different variations of this bar, chocolate, nut, caramel, a couple of the main ingredients.
I easily have five, and I'm missing two.
Let's go over these.
Let's give this a shot.
Guys, invented by William Morrison, fairy floss.
I like a stab at it. Is it Nerds Rope?
It is not.
Fuck.
Nerds Rope came out after I was born.
You don't know that.
Nerds rope? I'm pretty sure.
You don't know that.
Okay, moving on. you have no evidence for your claim.
You have nothing.
Fairy floss, cotton candy.
Oh, shit.
Nah. Introduced by Frank and Ethel Mars, named after the family horse.
Snickers.
I got one.
Let's go.
These sweets were invented in 1866. The candies, the customizable different shapes. Candy hearts. Customizable. You can send messages with those. Totally customizable.
I never got those.
This delicious treat was founded by a former Hershey employee, peanut butter, you guys know.
PB Cups.
Reese's peanut butter cups.
Peanut butter cups.
Famous for their slogan, melts in your mouth, not M&M's.
M&M's.
Number six, not named after a galaxy.
Milky Way.
Yep.
I had to give y'all some. Number seven, the vegan treats from Sweden.
Swedish fish.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're vegan treats?
They're not from Sweden.
They are from Sweden.
They're called Swedish fish, Dale.
Wait. It was worth a shot. I just threw it in the dark.
I made the game.
I didn't get it right, but I will ridicule you.
That's good.
Colorful candies that were a favorite of former President Ronald Reagan.
Skittles?
Jelly beans.
Fuck!
Jelly beans. Number nine, candy bars made of a combination of toffee and milk chocolate.
Heath bar.
Take it down a couple notches there. You got four lines banging on all cylinders. I know.
And rounding this one out, guys, shout out Honey for the idea for this last one.
Candy corn.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
Did you get six? Yeah, because I did not get Swedish fish.
How'd you not get Swedish
fish? I got eight.
Oh, wow.
You got eight?
Yeah.
Good job.
I didn't have three. I had nothing for three.
Then how did you get eight? There were only 10.
No, number three.
Oh, sorry.
Three, my lord.
Three,
number three.
Three, my lord.
Guys, that's a wrap on the sweetness game. Maybe somebody else makes that a game one. Soon.
No, you make a game.
Oh, fuckers. Guys, getting into segments, and then let's peace the fuck out.
I like some segments.
Sammy Stats, who's this week's not that guy?
Don't start with me.
Producer Jake, who's this week's not that guy?
Anybody not taking long shots in Kentucky Derby? You always gotta like just throw Pepper a little
it.
Out there.
Pepper
just it. Just a dollar, you know.
Way to fire one across my bow, bud.
Marcos, who's your not that guy?
My not that guy? My not that guy's Dan Orlovsky.
Oh, why?
Right? Dan Orlovsky went on this stupid ass rant. Talking about how the Bears have done nothing to surround Justin Fields with talent.
Yeah.
Guys, I watched Dan Orlovsky run out the back of an end zone and for 4 or 5 seconds still not realize that it was a safety.
All right. I remember that.
I'm not worried about the world's worst backup. Make your money. Suck a dick.
He's annoying.
Peace out. You're not that guy.
Sam?
My not that guy is global warming. Because it's a fucking snitch.
Oh.
You see this?
What's it?
Water level's been dropping in Lake Mead drastically.
Lake Mead?
Yeah. It's the lake created by Hoover Dam on the border of Arizona and Nevada.
Mm-hmm. Bodies came up.
Yeah, there's bodies in 55-gallon drums.
Yep.
Being found in the newly... The water has lowered to a point, 170 feet, over the past 30 years. To where there are now new shorelines and lower water. So they found two bodies this week already of a 55-gallon drum, skeleton, bullet in its head, mob shit out of Vegas. It's going to be sweet.
Tony Soprano, I'm on season 3.
Global warming's a snitch.
Global warming's a snitch.
Global warming is a snitch.
That's pretty... Halladale.
All right, so my Not That Guy has a question for you guys involved in it.
Okay.
Here's the story, and then I need your opinions. And listeners, you tell us how you feel. So essentially, when I pulled into work today, there's a intersection off the main road. And when I pulled up, there's a car in front of me at the stop sign. It's a two-way stop, so there's through traffic. I waited for a minute, and then I waited for another minute. And like, not only was the car not moving, there was no movement in the car. So... like I was worried, so I waited for another minute. Now it's already been a while. Honk the horn, nothing, no movement. Because like you honk the horn, the person looks at you or like does something. So it's just like no movement in the car. So I get worried. I go out and check, and it's just a dude passed out in the front seat, phone in his hand.
Cars on?
Cars on. Cars running. Music's loud.
Dick in the other one?
No.
In the old dick twist?
That's good.
The
old That's good. Dick okay. twist. So you were 3 for 4. That's...
So knock okay. on the window a few times, nothing. Look down, see that he...
Sir! Sir!
Excuse me, sir.
Sir? We've been trying to reach you about your warranty. But no, like, I noticed that the car is still in drive, so I get my car out of the way because Willie, the chief marketing officer, was with me that day. Earlier today, that is. But regardless, move the car, come back, knock for a little while longer. Finally, he wakes up. He start looking around like, what's going on? And I was like, no, that's my question to you. What's going on? But yeah, anyway, so he like says thanks, shakes my hand, and I'm like, hey, there's a parking lot right here, you should come sleep it off. And he just goes, yeah, thanks, and just drives away immediately. That guy, first off, is not that guy for me for falling asleep at the wheel. But in that situation, what do you guys do?
I don't know if there's anything you really can do.
So like,
what can you do?
I don't think you call the cops for somebody sleeping. Like, I sleep in parking lots.
So it's not like that. He was at a stop sign. I was behind him at a stop sign.
Oh.
Right. No, he fell asleep. Yeah, I'm not just knocking on windows in parking lots here, folks.
Okay.
I pulled, like, there's a road to get to my office building, and this guy is on the road at the stop sign. There's a children's school right there. There's an Aldi and other stuff and car dealerships right there. Like, people go on this road, children as well. There's a park. So, like, this dude's just passed out at the stop sign. That's why. That's the only reason I'm inserting myself. Because, first off, are you okay? Like, I'm trying to get to work.
Was there other traffic? Like, was...
Oh, five or six cars are going past.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Because there's literally a preschool right there. So, this is at 8 o'clock in the morning. People are dropping their kids off.
Holy shit.
So, like, that's why I wanted to wake him up. But it was just a really weird situation. What do you guys do?
I don't know if I call the cops. I might call the cops. I might, strictly because you're by. I think it depends on if I did a little investigation. If you look into the passenger seat and there's, you know, a fifth of something, or dude's got, you know, some doing crack.
Right.
Weird shit like that. I'm calling the cops 100%. But even then, when he rolls the window down, he sounds impaired and slurring and stuff like that. For the sake of other people's safety, I probably call and just say, hey.
Well, and I don't even know if calling the cops would really do anything. Even if you had, like, his license plate number and you reported it, like, a cop's not going to find him on the road.
Right, absolutely.
They might call him and just be like, hey, did you fall asleep at a stop sign earlier today? And he's going to be like,
stupid.
No.
And exactly.
I didn't know I couldn't do that.
It was just a weird situation. Don't fall asleep at the wheel. Find a Walmart parking lot. They let you sleep there.
Fucking guy, you're not that guy.
Not that guy.
They do. You can sleep there for 24 hours.
That's right. Let's talk about some brighter topics, potentially.
Do you guys want to know who's not dog sitting for
That's
me?
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
To keep the trend going, 2 weeks in a row, who's not dog sitting for me is now these assholes at the Detroit Zoo. Last week we talked about Washington, D.C. Zoo.
Sure.
I'm sure we could look up a zoo story every week. Yeah, there's no animals. Way that these places talking animals. Are...
Guys, these assholes at the Detroit Zoo, whoever's in charge of the Australian Outback Adventure Habitat exhibit, these assholes lost a 5-month-old Joey Little Wallaby.
Lost.
I mean, he was there Saturday night, and Sunday morning, he was gone.
Oh, they ate him.
He's gone. He's 4 months old. 5 months old. He doesn't have thumbs.
He
Marsupial?
Marcos.
He don't got thumbs.
No, but he has a pouch, right?
He got a fupa.
I don't know, guys.
I'm just saying.
Who's?
These guys are in charge.
He's got a fupa.
They lost this little dude.
I love this theme, first of all.
So just by default, because they lost this one wallaby, you can't watch my dogs.
Yeah, they're going to lose your dogs.
That's a great reason not to.
My dogs.
I wonder what Tyson the Bison's up to.
Hope he's good.
I hope he's chilling.
Damn stats. Sorry. Who's dog sitting for you?
Dog sitting for me is... whoever was rummaging through this Goodwill in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
I saw that.
Just picking up some, like, new decor for their home. Found, like, what looks like an ugly philosopher's head carved out of stone. You can see it right here. It's a bust.
It's a nice bust.
Yeah, it turns out to be an ancient Roman bust worth $5 million.
Must be fucking nice.
It's an antique.
It was, I always say about 5 million. You can set off into the sunset with 5 million.
It was about to end up in Grammy's garden.
You have to pay the taxes
and now,
on that.
Oh fuck!
Is that really how that happened,
dude? It's just like, I haven't read the whole article. I'm not. I hate reading.
Big headline guy.
Be honest.
Big headline guy.
Can't give you any more than
so.
Words.
$35 she paid for this marble bust.
So like, how do you even go about that process? Like, you buy something at a thrift store and you're like,
oh, this looks cool.
This looks, I think this might be worth more than the $35 I paid.
Don't think they're doing, you think they were doing that? Or they're like, wow, this bust would be a great piece on my doorway entry.
But that's what I'm saying. So how do you find out
that? And then someone walks in and they're like,
that's what I think.
Do you know what you have here?
Someone goes, holy fuck. Do you know what this is? Or someone goes, I wonder who it is. And they just look it up and then, oh, holy shit, this is from ancient Rome. This
oh, like,
something.
Look what I bought on Facebook today.
Right.
Can anybody give me more info?
Exactly.
Yeah, belonged to like a king of Bavaria at some point. And she just saw
great cream.
Bavaria cream. Dude. It is Bavaria cream.
She just like, she saw it on the floor between stuff at a Goodwill. And she's like, I like that. And ends up getting, like, this was
great taste
4 years ago, and then gets it curated by a museum there. And, yeah, it turns out it belonged to a king. Have no idea how it ended up at this Goodwill.
Had you have bought
it? It's incredible.
It still would have belonged to a king.
If you like that, you should look up highlights of Antique Roadshow.
I love you guys.
I'm unwell.
If you like that, you should look up highlights of Antique Roadshow. There's,
yeah.
like...
Some yep. of those finds.
There's the guy.
I'm a Storage Wars
like,
guy.
The guy who's like appraising it, because people always come up to him and like, "Hey, I found this. Is this worth anything?" And most of the time, he's like, "No." And then there's other times he stands there and is like, "Okay, yeah, I've seen something like this." And he goes on. And it's like, "Yeah, this is actually worth like $4 million." And then the people just like drop.
If this is Pawn Stars,
I would piss myself right there. In the spot, if he told me something that I owned was worth $4 or $5 million.
Do you want it?
You can. Like, do you want, yeah.
Take this.
Give me.
Take this.
Give me the money.
Daladel, who is dog sitting for you? Or not?
So who is?
Nice.
Friend of the podcast, listener, Thea Emma Garcia.
Shout out Thea Emma!
Woo!
So I was...
I love her.
In line at Dunkin' Donuts the other day before I was heading out to calls out in the eastern suburbs, and I pull up and the lady in front of me goes, "Hey, the lady before you bought your coffee." Believe it or not, that doesn't happen to me very often. So I looked inside.
No candy hearts.
Exactly. No candy hearts. Yeah,
you're a little standoffish.
I can be at that at times. And there's a card for Emma Garcia of Carmack Realty right there. So for all of your realty needs, call Emma Garcia of Carmack Realty out of Warrenville. Well, that's where her office is.
Shout
according
out
to her card. So
she goes everywhere.
Emma, thank you so much for the coffee. And I don't know if you knew this, but you also bought me 2 sausage wake-up wraps. So you're the best.
That's always the risk of, I like to buy for the person behind me.
They're
and
buying
you don't
for the
know
school.
That they're buying for the entire department.
Just cover the munchkins. I don't want anything else.
$10 limit.
$10 limit.
Yeah.
Producer Jake.
I'm just going to rehash it. Josh fucking Naylor. This man's going to... I thought... Carlos Correa was going to be my mortal enemy of the season. I was wrong. I was very, very wrong. It is Josh Naylor, and that man is going to be in my nightmares.
So he's watching
not
Sasha?
Watching.
Oh,
he okay. just looks like a dick.
He might be watching Sasha without your consent.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And what would you do about it?
Sam.
What, dude?
You're home more than I am. If this is true, this is on you.
Hey, I let him in.
Guys, it's going to be a wrap on our sweetness episode. Episode 34 is in the books.
I trusted you.
Guys, on Facebook, The Bare Minimum Podcast, Twitter at The Bare Min Pod. Instagram will be up and running soon. Follow the socials. If you're interested in winning these Cubs tickets, it's going to be 2 tickets in the outfield bleachers, I believe left field, Tuesday, May 31st. Big shout out to Packers owner and resident football expert, Jose.
Details to come.
Details to come. Follow us on the socials and we'll get all that info to you guys. Guys, anything else you want to tell the lovely listeners before we get out of here? Bear down. See red. Love you guys.
Bears. It's bad. It's so bad. push. They don't win. Now I ain't saying she a gold
digger, but she ain't messing with no Richard Seymour. Get down, girl, go
ahead, get down. The boys are back.
Not that guy.
Get down, girl,
go ahead, get down. How big are you on sports? Get down, girl, go ahead. Not that guy.
I need to put notes on that.
Right. Oral Roberts, yep. Man.
I'm drunk.
Drunk.
Bears.
It's looking more like Jake might have been right, but do I know anything about that man? Absolutely not going into that, right?
You don't have a choice.
No, that's not what I said.
Yes, okay.
I watched all the tape. Watched all the tape.
To say where you work, but then get the hell out of the chair.
The best friends in the whole world.
Go Chaos.
Especial.
Not that guy.
Marcos disagrees.
Sean's legally blind.
Let him up, you dumb bitch.
It's my lord.
What if he wants to be here?
What? Yeah. I rode with him for 3 weeks, dude. Wow.
Football guys.
Really fast.
I need it in like 15 seconds, though.
Yeah, your face is too narrow.
That guy.
Dude, I love celebrating.
The Malort's on the table.
We're doing our best to put out as much as we can put out.